No, no, no. We're at the end of the world war.
End of the war. Mm-hmm. We hit the 20s. It was a roaring 20s, my dear ladies. You're shaking your head.
Now, the whole family was still on the farm, is that correct?
No, my sister was married on the old farm in 16.
Yes, and she moved away.
She went to Kingston, but they had a lift from the farm because there was no time. She was milking 3-4 cows in Kingston. My sister Jenny, she had need, she couldn't get along with it out. And my oldest niece, she's only gone. She married a cousin, a feller who was from Kingston.
I'd like to have an idea of what you did on the farm. I know probably many things, but to give us an idea of farming during those times.
Well, I was a kid like all other kids. I liked to go to a ball game. But we played the ball game while we was watching cows on the company ball field. After I'm not telling you a story, I'm telling you the worst difficulty I had was there was no time, they were in their 20s. And with a cow to look after. And the war gardens, you know what I'm talking about? Every one that cared to work had a garden on the company. They didn't hesitate. But how can you keep an animal from getting in the garden without watching him? You can. Because where you don't want him to be, that's where they came. My sister Ann, she tried to help me. Once she got as far as the Kuiper farm, until they got her hair plaited, so we were ready to go home. And who helped me? Well, some of the proprietors that I delivered milk to, if they seen the cows coming towards the garden, they did. Now, two animals isn't hard to take care of, and you have a herd. When we moved in 16 on the farm, I think we had room for 28 head in the Kuiper farm, because my father, we closed in what we call the overshot. The overshot is where the downstairs you could pull in with a load of grain or hay, and you were under a roof. When we closed that in, we had a road for cattle. I had up to 42 head in the milking of that herd in the Kuiper farm. Sometimes we didn't have hay in the hot weather, and I didn't want to go on. But then, with the machine, had 3 milkers. Yes.
And all this time, still, your father had this land, and the sons were working, and the rest of the family
up
was
till
working.
My older brother and Arthur's mother, Miriam, they rest in peace, they started, I spoke of the Roaring Twenties. But it was the early, now I'm not positive, Pearson, son, an owner of what we call a Pop and Mom's store in the neighborhood. Well, Daddy himself, J.A., if he went out with orders, he came home, and then he had to go where he could lean down because he was tanked up, a chicken. Mrs. Pearson and her boys kept a neighborhood store going. It was a grocery store, and they handled meats. Corner of 8th and Gaskill. There was a street named Gaskill. He had it in Geneva. And he's spelled it the same way. It's red. G-A-S-K-I-L-L. Beyond Gaskill was Scott Avenue, Cowan Avenue, and Ridge Avenue. And he often said that was a Nicky's Hill, which was the capital.
Tell us about the good times of the Roaring Twenties.
Well, there's an investment in this building, in the storeroom, on Gaskill Avenue, corner Gaskill and 8th Street University. I think it's a new house. Beautiful. The corner, on the side, there was a storeroom. It was a nice, a good sized building. Room for a truck, a passenger car, two vehicles, a place where you could unload now you can use gasoline, but we had a carbon oil tank. So the kerosene was dearer than gasoline these days.
For the farm equipment? Or?
Okay, for lights too, for many. Yes, our tractors, we had to start them on the gas, one little small pan, and then we were working on kerosene lamps, kerosene stoves, we cooked them, and we had wicks and packed them in lanterns. I'll tell you about getting electricity. That was a long shot.
Morris, I wonder, I know that you have told me that on the farm, you were among the first to have yellow corn in this area.
This came later on through the county agent.
By that time, were you with your father on the farm, or were you?
Sweetheart, I lost that in 37.
And this was later?
Yes.
Okay.
This was after I came back. I put in 7.5 years for a court of screen in the miserable 30s. I worked for.
Okay, so this was much later, okay.
Yes, correct. But you're talking about the First World War, and I'm telling you about where the investment was.
Right.
Well, this, I can't give you the accurate figures. In fact, my dad didn't like to go heavy into debt. I was studying. Can you say something about capital gains? Mm-hmm. Well, here's where. Being able to communicate with your neighbor. Albert Laufer, president of First National Bank. First National Bank, and he was a big deal at the Saving and Trust. Deutsche, Harrison City, you were resident of Harrison City. He was our First National Bank president. When Dad bought the Kuiper Farm, on a 4% mortgage interest. And we were reluctant to go into debt for the upper farm when the Italian boys came to renew the contract after the 5 years was up. We moved in April before the, I don't remember the dates now, the new agreement. Well, I was going to rent it again the next time, if they went in again, because we already had the house subletted. And it was a family that could help us. When Lauper found out that he bought the Kuiper farm, which was a leech of them, and he came down and talked about it. Well, how are you doing, Louie? You stop once in a while at this place to see how you're getting along. Now look, this is the beauty about country living. There was no, what we would call jealousy. If there was a good crop of corn, as you just mentioned, how about a nice load of pumpkins in between the corn? If you fertilized your land, you were not growing corn alone, because these pumpkins we had to be harvested while you were harvesting the corn. You couldn't drive any of the machine because we had pumpkins we couldn't get to in the bushel basket. How did we do it? With fertilizer. We never hauled any way manure. If they wanted the manure, they had to come to get it. Any customer, and I'm not telling you a lie, come Father's Day, now you may want to hear this. And guess where the sun came? Help his father out in the garden, taking a cup of bushel of manure from the yard. And didn't the people appreciate that better than a dollar or anything else? And we were, I never had to buy a plant. We are still on the farm. Laufer found out that the upper, they held on to it because of a coal mining project. That's why the reason they invested the money from Latrobe here is the Penn Township. It's the west end of Jeanette, West End Park. Well, they found out that the coal in the upper range wasn't what they had hoped it would be, because they did try it. consequence is they were ready to sell. In fact, they went out and loaded. They added a room for us, making a room on the building. They did anything they could for us. But Dad held on. Oh, our competitor from the Harrison City says, oh, that's your idea. The one who's really the quit. He came to apologize. So, well, he planted his oats with still frost in the ground. So he thought it was. And Dad turned around in February and he says, oh, this will keep for a garden. He could tell when he turned a firm land over. This is how beautiful the method of knowing what he was doing. Well, this will keep for this crop. This will have to hurry up and get in. And the sooner you get it in, the better you're going to be off. And believe you me, I could carry, I had to have cigarettes and a drink. Feed the horses, he finished working on the moonlight to get the work done. Why did he do that? Well, I don't know how he had it at home, because he was raised by his oldest brother, but the niece was six. She was older than him. I was told 6 months, and some says she was 6 years. Oh, I'll tell you about this niece. She ended up in Sheriff Street in New York with her husband. And he said, hey, I'll tell you about it. Now we're still on the farm.
Yes. Now we are. We shall continue now after.
How we bought the upper farm at his own price.
Yes. And you had you rented the old farm. You were able to rent it again for the next 5 years.
It was a question.
Yes, you were trying.
Right. To renew the. In agreement. He came in the following Sunday, as he took it up with his partner, Rosa Beth, the pastor George, who came to the farm. He saw it removed to the country farm. He bought it for $5,000, 48 acres. And he says, do you want cash? And I don't think he was able to take a mortgage. No, the father talked with law for it. He had a chance. And when he heard that these Italian boys came to town, they want the father to continue to stay there with the Pipers. He bought it in his own place. He offered him $5,000, shook hands, and this is yours.
How many acres was that?
48 and a fraction. Yeah. The one below had 61. I can't tell you the rods. Together we had 110 acres, 61 and 2 rods. And this lawfer gave my father money without any question. And you believe, I'll never forget, he says, you usually charge 6%. Louis, you can have it for 4.
Now, of course, in those days, the government did not help you in any way. You must have had some bad years.
Well, of course we had bad years and dry years. Oh, we had all water in the upper farm, too. This is another reason we went to the Kuiper farm, because the upper farm, then we got along with the Siskins. And that was all right for the house use, but when you need to when you had up to... We were in the 20 number in county, 22 or 24, when we moved here on the county farm. And it must have been more than that, because we made building this overshot. Now, I had my numbers mixed. The truth was that we made room where Kuiper, well, he had four horses on the farm, and one was... son-in-law had a grocery store in him and kept a horse in my grandpa's place. So he had 5 stalls for horses. Well, that was fine. And so we got competition that we couldn't keep a horse in the cow stable anymore. Then there was a different story. And he wrote so, and as we say it in our language, Negro. to have a permit to sell, sell milk. It became more evident and more restricted when you people in the town would believe you. It started out with these here, co-ops. And you know how that we as Jewish were welcoming our son from our Christian friends. And the truth was, little by little, I belonged to co-ops. And I didn't have a chance to purchase the stuff that I wanted to live. The consequence was that individually, it's from part. Labor, that was including glass houses, it was always more and more exempt. Out of strike, to fill the soap boxes with premiums, icing carloads on each side of the building going out to the soap factories to go of their orders, including if you bought 5 gallons of gasoline, you'd have, you like tumblers at home for present, you could get them. Now this is the kind of business that's going on in Geneva. They were going 24 hours out of the day, including Sundays, the glass houses, especially the key. On both sides of the building, they were loading carloads of premiums. Soap boxes or whatever they were selling. My customer friends, they worked not only overtime, but they were in on piecework and made money. Now we're talking about glassworks. Well, the original Shatterproof was started in American Window Glass. It wasn't a season over, but they had a branch in in the Kensington.
PPT?
No. AWA, American Window Glass. It was a glass house. It's on this side in the Kensington. And in the top, a branch. Now, this is beside beveled glass. You ever heard of beveled glass? Try and buy it today.
Well, tell us about the beginning of the Depression and how you were affected by the Depression years.
Well, we're not through the Roaring Twenties.
Yes.
Okay. Good, you remembered. All right. Yes. Now, during the Twenties, you were...
Roaring Twenties, my sister moved from Kingston in 19, right in. And my brother went in business the following year. And it could have been 20th, 21st now, I'm not positive. Are we doing good? Well, anyhow, one thing got the other, and we were very fortunate. We had a wonderful start. But no one, when the trouble came up, we didn't have the kind of bills that we had today. However, taxation on the farms. I can give you a more or less. We were in tax and what we earned, we were taxed whatever the including the insurance, whatever the outlay was. I don't know how to put it to you, but say a barn burned down, and this land cost so much to replace it. The insurance on the entire mutual is what they call the mutual insurance on the county. Bill Shrum is one of the, I'm there, I look land, and on the Adams down the road. My dad didn't want to get into the politics. And we paid whatever the losses was in the county, this is how it was divided among the proprietors. You could not value your building or an animal above the average price. In the building you got 60%. Your father 40, the rebuilding, that was your house. And that, the registered animal, I don't think went around the dollars. It was, an animal struck by lightning, or you lost it in the fields, whatever it is, you got 60%. Now this is how it was divided among four. Came in four figures. So your insurance, oh, they wouldn't take on any risky business. And I'll tell you what experience Morris Blimber had before he was through with me. Think I ruined the paper?
During the 20s, again, the family, your sister had moved away, but was the rest of the family all working on the farm?
No. We went on our own.
You went on your own.
Yes, indeed.
And during the 20s, who was on the farm at this point?
Well, Dad was showing you couldn't be the man if you were working, and Mother helped along.
Were you on the farm, too?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to deliver, before I went to school, a good quantity of milk. And then I came home from school and got to high school. And I was capable of doing a man's job when I was capable of doing it.
And
sisters?
Yes.
They helped out.
Yes.
The youngest ones were too young. But my brother Dave, he got a farm that came on late. And you know how the period is. It's always the ones that have the sweetest or the laziest. And the truth is, you'd rather go to a ball game than a village show. So this is my driver Dave, and he's in Delray Beach now, coming up real soon.
So how many men in your family were on the farm during the 20s, really helping on the farm?
You're looking at
mostly it was you and your father.
Now, Max was on the ice cream wagons till he got into the grocery business. And I think it was 22 when they really got into the grocery business. And they got changed over. And they took a ton of money to buy out this Pearson of the man's name, Jay Pearson. And guess who brought him up to the farm and made a deal for him? With your father. In the spring wagon.
You did it. Okay.
Before we had the milk bottles, we'd bring in a can of milk to the store, and we had it on a swivel of a door, one of the ice box old timers that you could dump the can of milk into the can. We had a couple of iron cans we used to get help by down there. And we dipped them out where they measured. And the customer came with their little lard bucket. It was fine with the cover. They went in the jar. That's what they got. And they came in up. 8 cents a quart, 9. And it went to 12 during the war years when the escape from the feed was up higher. Oh, my gosh, we have to cut them out. Oh, my father says, you ain't going to look at that. And they came to the farm, the retail carrying the milk to the homes. There's no blessing. Even at 12 cents a quart. And 712 is 84, then we got to 14 cents a quart. Now picture me making change to two youngsters. We were helping mother out. She was washing clothes or whatever it is with a dollar bill. Well, I had to give Lisa Nichols so they could buy an ice cream cone. I still have that habit. Mm-hmm. And it's the best advertisement that you could find. I find this out in the business. If a child comes digging or a preschooler, you might as well put his mouth. If you have him dancing on the front porch and hollering, "Mummy, mummy, he's coming," I could hear it square away. because if one were to see our porch, it would be, well, on Scott Avenue, which is unusual to find every year. The 2-3 preschoolers in our house. This is how we you know, we're within 300-400 less than the county, Greensboro county seat, in the town of Populous in Jeanette. So this is where we were capable to add to our government. And on paper, yeah, I had some in the paper too. But a child, if you give them a new penny, they come out. And two to count. Well, they did that trick with me. Now, I didn't become a banker, but I sure liked my pennies.
So during the 20s, could you let us know just what the whole extent of your business on the farm included?
We did well.
Your crops were wheat, oats, millet.
Mostly the crops were dairy feed. Oh, we built a silo in 1917, a year of that tile silo. Matco was a Pittsburgh concern. We called freight from Penn, PA, about a week to tile. 90 ton of feed we could store for the winter. And this is
only your feed, or did you have that renting?
No, we raised the corn. We could fill it with soybean, whatever we had in what we call ferment feed. And this feed we had throughout the winter instead of grass. And they ate as much as they could. And believe you me, this was feed that produced milk because the grain and all went into with the juices of the stock. You see, we had to harvest this before the frost hit.
So your main business was really the milk business?
Dairy business.
The dairy business. Okay. And that included milk and ice cream. How about butter or anything?
When we were in Strong on the ice cream, we had the only Harmony Creamery indeed here out of Sydney, because we found them, because they were on farms too, the Otto Milk Company, that rings a bell to you people.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think they made their money?
So you were selling to all these big companies?
Well, we tied in with them. Rick's are steep costly, but we did business with them. We found the Harmony Creamery. They were at that time on under the tunnel rail. Oh, and Herms was right on the point where you could turn off towards the courthouse. Herms, and they didn't last too long.
So how did you tie in with Harmony or Otto?
Through the agents.
And you would supply, help to give them extra milk?
If we had to help them.
Uh-huh.
But there were times when we got into this, we needed more than we couldn't get from our own neighbors. So we had no choice, but they were shipping milk from, with cans, from export Harris City into Manor on the main line. And guess where we got our milk from the neighbors? Instead of shipping it away, because it not only cost the delivery, but if you came to them, we'd get a couple of cans of milk. It was still possible those days to be together. Understanding we had a station in Greensburg, Western Dairy. You don't follow me?
Mm-hmm.
When they organized these here co-ops, I was a member. It was me, it was a member to see what I could get, not what I could sell. There were those kind that didn't have where to sell it. They brought it in to the co-op. The farm was handy, brought it in to the station. West End Dairy was right at the point where we got off the ferry from the east end out of Greensburg and into the town to get on ferry. Still there, it's a high. And then it was a cabal. It was in a land there. person. I think this is how we were capable of communicating. And by the way, not every ice cream producer has the same formula. We didn't enjoy putting condensed milk on our ice cream. And how did we sell our ice cream? And the plant. So we got a scoop, we used it as a spoon. And that wasn't that big here.
And did you have a family name for your ice cream, or did you just...
Under our own name.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
We didn't hesitate to use it. Liber? Yeah. These wagons, half the time we had all our name. No. When we took over Loose Rings, when we brought them out, we used this nameplate for quite a number of years, too.
So...